Yeah, so the thoughts for tonight, they come from the last part of last year. During the last part of last year, there was kind of two things going on. One was that I was just thoroughly enjoying reading all four Gospels. It was just so good to just dive into all of them. The second thing was all that my mom was going through. And as she declined and got worse, and as I read the Gospels, the Lord encouraged me immensely in it. And I thank him because we know what the Lord did for my mom, and we praise him for it. But he encouraged me when it was ugly. And I'm just so grateful to him for that. So I thought I'd just share that encouragement with you, and hopefully you can be encouraged as well. So we're going to start at John chapter 12 tonight. John chapter 12. So, but before we do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I just thank you for your loving goodness to us. I thank you that you saved us. Yeah, I just thank you for this time that we can open your word and share what you've shown. And I just pray that as we go through it, I pray that you protect your work, protect your word, protect your people. Let your spirit speak. Let your spirit use your word to your glory. So we put it in your hands tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so John chapter 12, it's a well-known passage, and we'll start by just reading the first three verses. Excuse me. It says, "Then, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil." Yeah, let's just jump down to verse 7. It says, "But Jesus said, 'Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial.'" This is a well-known passage, and it's a beautiful passage. And the surprise for me was that how many times I've read it in my life, and how many messages I've heard on it, and all of the messages were very good. You know, the Spirit of God speaking the truth. And as many times as I read it, there was one small thing that I didn't see. And it's not a mystical thing. It's not a hidden thing. It's stated very clearly. We read it. So we'll read it again. It's verse 1. It says, "Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he," that's the Lord Jesus, "had raised from the dead." It's a very small thing, but this passage happens after the Lord raised Lazarus from the dead. And for some reason, I'd never seen that as often as I read it. And it's not that I thought it happened before he raised him from the dead. I didn't think either way. But when the Lord, I guess, allowed me to see that, wow, it opened up into an amazing study of the whole story. So we'll go through the story tonight. And we need some background. So turn to Psalm 105, please. Psalm 105. Psalm In Psalm 105, it gives a brief summary of the life of Joseph. Yeah. And so before we read it, let's just hit the highlights of Joseph's life, right? When Joseph is introduced to us, he's the youngest of 11 brothers, and he's the favorite of his father. His father loves him, and he made him a coat of many colors, right? And Joseph would report to his father about what his brothers were doing, right? And then Joseph has that dream when he's young, and he tells them about it. And even his father, Jacob, was upset and says, "What, are we going to bow down to you?" And so then one day, the brothers were off tending sheep, and Jacob wanted to know how they were. So Jacob sends Joseph to find out, and the brothers didn't like Joseph at all. And so they see Joseph coming, and they decide they're going to kill him. So Reuben, the oldest son, stops them from killing him. And instead, they throw him into a pit. And then while Reuben's gone, they sell Joseph to the Ishmaelites. And then the brothers do the most devious thing. Right? They took his coat of many colors, and they tore it, and they dipped it in blood, and they took it to their father. And they didn't say, "Dad, Joseph's dead. We found his coat." Right? Instead, they took it to Jacob, and they said, "Do you recognize this? We found it." So devious. And Jacob is left to come to his own conclusion, that his favorite son is dead, killed by a wild animal. So devious. But in the meantime, the Ishmaelites take Joseph to Egypt, and they sell him to Potiphar. And the Lord was with him. And Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him and treated him very well. And until the day when Potiphar's wife decides she wants to seduce him. And so she tries. And Joseph would have nothing to do with it. And he leaves. And he forgets his coat. So Potiphar comes home. And Potiphar's wife, wanting to hide what she did, she lied to Potiphar and said, "Joseph tried to seduce me." And she used his coat as proof. On a side note, it's really interesting that twice Joseph's coat was used to deceive, and he paid the consequences. I think there might be something in that, but if there is, the Lord hasn't shown me yet. So then Potiphar gets really mad and puts Joseph in prison. And Joseph's in prison for a long time. He's there until Pharaoh himself has a dream. And Pharaoh wants to know the meaning of the dream, but he wants to know the meaning is right. So he wants people to tell him what the dream was and then what the meaning is. And nobody can do it. And then one day, Pharaoh's butler remembers Joseph, because Pharaoh's butler and Pharaoh's baker were both put in prison with Joseph. And they both had a dream. And Joseph interpreted the dream, and he was right. So Pharaoh's butler tells Pharaoh about Joseph. Pharaoh calls for Joseph, and they get Joseph, they clean him up, they bring him to Pharaoh, and Joseph does the most amazing thing. He tells Pharaoh, "I can't interpret your dream." Right? Think about it. He's in prison for a long time. Now's his chance to get out. And at the risk of being sent back to prison, or maybe even worse, He says straight up, I can't interpret your dream, but God can. At the risk of his own consequences, he gives all glory and credit to God.
Amen. Amen.
And so then the Lord tells him what the dream was and tells him what the interpretation is. And Joseph tells Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's amazed, right? And Pharaoh brings him out of prison and gives him the highest position in all of Egypt. Joseph is second only to Pharaoh himself. And that's where we are in Psalm 105. So let's read it. Psalm 105, starting at verse 16, it says, moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions. Amazing. And so then the famine hits the land, right? And the famine didn't just hit Egypt, it hit the whole area. And then one day, Joseph's family needs food, right? Jacob and all his brothers. So Jacob sends his sons to Egypt to get food. Not one of them has a thought of Joseph. They don't know he's there. In fact, they all think he's dead long ago, right? Jacob was left to come to his own conclusion that his favorite son died, killed by a wild animal long ago. And the brothers, they're kind of like us, right? When we tell a lie, we want it to be believed.
Yeah.
So we say it so convincingly. And then what happens? We believe it ourselves. And so they, no doubt, believe that Joseph was dead long ago. So off they go to Egypt, and they end up standing right in front of Joseph, and they bow down to him, just like his dream. And so then Joseph reveals himself to them, forgives them fully forgives them. He actually probably had already forgiven them, but he reveals himself to them, forgives them fully, brings them all to Egypt. Brings Jacob, his father, all of his brothers, all of their families, their kids, their livestock. He brings them all to Egypt. And he gives them the best that he has. He gave them the best part of Egypt at the consent of Pharaoh. And then every day from that point on, they lived in the fullness of Joseph's forgiveness and his love and all that he had and all that he is poured out for them every day. And here's the point of all that. Go to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. In Genesis chapter 50, Jacob, their father, had died, and they had just buried him, right? And we'll start reading at verse 15, Genesis 50, verse 15. It says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespasses of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. This is amazing, because when the brothers realized their father was gone, they became afraid because they thought Joseph was like them, right? And so they come up with another devious plan, and they don't go to Joseph himself and say it. They send messengers. And the messengers say, tell Joseph that, hey, your father, before he died, told us to tell you, forgive your brothers. And you know what they were saying? They were saying, your father, before he died, told us to tell you to treat your brothers exactly the way you've been treating them. Right? Every day of their lives, they lived in the fullness of his forgiveness and his love. And he poured out all that he had and all that he is on them. He never hung it over their head, never reminded them of anything. Every day he poured himself out for them. And so what was Joseph's response? And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. He wept. He wept as in, don't you know me by now? Every day I pour myself out in my love and my forgiveness for you. Don't you know me by now? And what's even more is Joseph wept because out of their own hearts and their own thoughts, they were not able to enjoy all that they had in him. And Joseph, in many ways, is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus. So let's go see the Lord Jesus. Go to John chapter 11. This is where the Lord raises Lazarus from the dead. John chapter 11. We'll start at verse 1. We'll read verses 1 to 5 for now. It says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Lazarus and his sisters, Martha and Mary, they knew the Lord. They loved the Lord. And he loved them. That's verse 5. And so their brother, who they love, is sick. And so they send word to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says, just the most amazing thing, that it's profound. He says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Let's carry on with verse 21. It says, now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. As the Lord Jesus was getting closer to where they were, Martha runs up to meet him. And she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Right? She was grieving. She lost her brother. She was hurting. And she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." She knew the Lord. She loved the Lord. And the Lord loved her. And out of her own heart and her own thoughts, can I say that she thought the Lord was limited, right? She said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And that's true. But in saying that, she's saying, because you weren't, there was nothing you could do. And so the Lord answers her. And I love the way the Lord talks to people in the Gospels, because he makes a statement, right? And then they respond. And then he goes deep right into the point of what he was saying. And that's what he does here. He says to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha says, "Yeah, Lord, I know. I know he'll rise in that resurrection day." Right? She lost her brother. She's hurting. She says, "Yeah, Lord, I know. I know he'll rise again. But it hurts now." And so then the Lord goes deep, 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 deeper in verse 25. And he says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." You know what he's saying to her? He's saying the resurrection is standing here with you.
Amen.
The life is standing here with you. And then he goes deeper. And he says, "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." And then he goes even deeper still and says, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." He is the resurrection and the life. You know, the very moment that anyone trusts the Lord as their Savior, the very moment anyone believes in him by faith, it's at that very moment he raises them from the dead. Pass from death to life. How does Ephesians say it? "You who were dead in trespasses, he made alive together with Christ." At the very moment any one of us trusts the Lord as our Savior, at that very moment he raises them from the dead. From death to life, eternal life, everlasting life. When I was younger, I knew I needed to be saved. I trusted the Lord. I praised the Lord, I'm saved. And I thought, well, yeah, now I live out this life until I die. Then I go be with him and eternity starts. No. The very moment we trust the Lord, he raises us from the dead, and we have eternal life from that moment on.
Amen.
Yeah, so let's keep reading. Verse 31, or 31? 32, sorry. John 11, verse 32, it says, "Then Mary came where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' And Jesus wept." Martha had gone and gotten her sister. And Mary goes to the Lord and she falls at his feet. And what does she say? She says the exact same thing Martha said. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And the Lord, how does it say it? Yeah, he groaned in his spirit, right? And they take him to where Lazarus was buried, and as they took him, he saw their sorrow, he saw their struggle. And in verse 25, so beautiful, says Jesus wept. The Lord Jesus wept, just like Joseph.
Amen.
But in a much greater way. And he wept as if, don't you know me by now? They knew him. They loved him. He loved them. And he wept as, don't you know me by now? Of all you've seen, of all you've heard. And then even greater, just like Joseph, but in a much greater way, he wept. Because out of their own hearts and their own thoughts, they were not able to enjoy all that they had in him. And he wept. You know, as my mom got worse and worse, and I was just so encouraged by this. She got worse and worse, and I was trying to come to terms with it, like, wow, my mom might go to be with the Lord. And the fact of the matter is, my parents are at that age. So I'm struggling to come to terms with that. And I was just like Martha, right? As my mom got worse and worse, I go, yeah, I know she's saved. I know she'll go be with the Lord. I know I'll see her again, but it hurts now. And so the Lord just beautifully encouraged me with this fact that he is the resurrection and the life, and anyone who trusts in him he raises from the dead at that very moment, and they will never die. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I was so encouraged by this. And then my mom got worse and worse. And then my youngest sister calls me and says, I think you should come home. So I go home. My sister Sarah from Edmonton went home. And we're all there at the hospital. It's funny. We know what the Lord did with my mom. Still makes me emotional. We're all at the hospital around her bed, saying goodbye. And while we were doing that, we so beautifully enjoyed the Lord.
Amen.
It was amazing. And it's interesting because the hospital at 8 p.m. kicks everybody out. And it was kind of astonishing because my mom was in that condition and they wouldn't even let my dad stay with her. So they kicked us all out. And as we're leaving, we had been with her saying goodbye and enjoying the Lord together. And as we're leaving, you know, the Lord saved my mom. And then through my mom, the Lord saved my dad. And as we're leaving, my dad, he kisses my mom. And he says, thank you for introducing the Lord Jesus to me.
Amen.
It was beautiful. I've lost my thoughts. That very moment, the Lord raises us from the dead to eternal life. We'll never die. And the amazing thing is that when that moment comes, when my mom goes to be with the Lord, when that moment comes that each one of us goes to be with the Lord, when that moment comes that these bodies die, no matter what it looks like, it is exactly like what the Lord said with Lazarus. It is not to death, but to the glory of God. No matter what it looks like from the outside, when these bodies die, it is not to death, but to the glory of God. Remember Simon Peter. Go to John 21. Simon Peter. The Lord says to Simon in verse 18 of John 21, he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." And then verse 19 says, "This he spoke," that's the Lord Jesus, "this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God." All my life I read that, and I was amazed by Peter. Amazed. And even jealous. Right? He was a disciple. He was an apostle. And even his death gets to glorify God.
Amen.
But the fact is, every one of us, every believer, no matter what it looks like from the outside when it happens, when these bodies die, it is not to death, but to the glory of God. Psalm 116 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Because he's the resurrection and the life. And the moment we trusted him, he raised us from the dead. Let's go back to John 12, where we started. And the Lord had raised Lazarus from the dead, and he's at their house. Now remember, when the Lord raised Lazarus from the dead, he had been dead 4 days. He was in the tomb 4 days. So he didn't hear a thing the Lord said to his sisters. And then the Lord raises him from the dead, and praise the Lord. And he's carrying on. Praise the Lord. Right? And he's sitting at the table eating, carrying on. But Martha did hear. And forgive me, because I'm not beating her up, but I think she missed it. She loves the Lord, right? She knows him. That's good. He loves her. And she's serving. There's nothing wrong with serving. But I think she missed it, because she wanted the pain to go away, and praise the Lord, it did. And then she carries on as normal. Mary got it. And this is why. Mary got it. And it says, "Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil." She got it. And verse 7 says why. The Lord says, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial." Right? She did it for his death, burial, and resurrection, by which God is glorified. Let's close with Psalm 48. Psalm 48 is a beautiful psalm, as they all are. If I can find it. Psalm 48. Yeah, it's a beautiful psalm. It starts with, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." But it's the very last verse I want to look at. In verse 14, it says, "For this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide, even to death." This is God. And not just God, but our God, forever and ever. And he will be our guide, even to death. And it's that death is not to death, but to his glory. The Lord so encouraged me, so I hope he encouraged you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. I just thank you so much for your love and goodness. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for raising us from the dead and giving us life. Lord, I just pray that you work in each one of us. And Lord, don't let our hearts and our thoughts keep us from enjoying all that we have in you. Lord, bring us to the fullness of you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sebastian, what happened to your mom?
Oh, yeah, the Lord. It's kind of I don't know where to start with the story. My sister Sarah asked my dad. She says, "Has anybody laid their hands on mom and prayed for her?" So we got into a conversation of that passage in James. So we followed that passage, and it was a beautiful time, actually, if we have time. Because my dad says, "Well, mom doesn't have sin to confess, right?" Like, it's like mom's great, you know, like, because we all know she's great. So then we get there. And dad tells mom what we're going to do. And then we get to confession of prayer. And dad says, "Why don't we all just confess our sin to the Lord?" So we all bow our heads and confess our sin. And after a time, dad, me, and my sister were done. And so dad goes, "Everybody ready?" And mom goes, "Not yet." And she continues. And then a while later, dad goes, "Everybody ready?" Mom goes, "Not yet." Well, what a beautiful thing to see. Just she poured her heart out before the Lord. So then they put their hands on her and prayed. And it was really amazing because nothing happened instantly. It wasn't like we say amen and mom jumps up and we all go. And no. But by that night, color was coming back into her face. Mm-hmm. And I was reading through Acts while I was home, and I got to that part of scripture where Stephen is in front of them and he's telling the whole history of Israel. And he gets to the point of Moses with the burning bush. And it just jumped out at me because God said to Moses, "I've heard the cries of the Israelites." But then the Lord, after hearing the cries, he didn't snap his fingers and make it better. He went through the whole process, right? Doing it what's right. And that just hit me. He heard us. He heard the prayers. And then it was watching. For the days that I had before I came back, it was watching her get better and better and better. And the doctor goes into her and says, "What happened to you?" Right? It was beautiful. It was the Lord and the Lord only.
Amen.
And a couple weeks ago, Gene and I, we Zoom with them on Fridays. Mom says she hasn't felt this good in years. So
amen.
I don't know why, but I thank the Lord.
Amen.